Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Can I get a beef taco, please?
Oh, we don't do that here, sir. Can I offer you our vegan gluten-free broccoli tacos with cashew cheese?
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
How about some chicken fajitas? Can I do chicken fajita?
No chicken fajitas either, sir. How about some crispy kale lettuce wrap?
A what wrap?
Crispy kale wrapped in lettuce with a side of vegan coleslaw.
So it's a salad wrapped in a salad with a side of salad.
I like tacos.
I like tacos.
Give me them tacos.
Happy now that's what I call a taco.
We do it in Mexico all the time. Happy Taco Tuesday. 888-914-9149. That's the number. I do have a line available. It's yours if you call now. If you wait, it'll be taken up by somebody else. 888-914-9149. Let's go to, where are we going to go? Let's go to Sandra in Santa Ana, California, that is. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Patrick. Just calling to get some advice. Just recently cheated on my husband with another woman, and it's been really hard for us during our marriage to reconcile. Just wanted to get some advice how I can help him reconcile with me.
Ooh, yeah. So this obviously is something he knows about?
Yes, he does.
Okay. So it's not like you have to break the news to him. He's already aware of it.
Yes, he's aware of it. I've confessed. I've told him I'm sorry multiple times for what I did, for betraying him. Truly, I am really sorry, and I'm really trying to fix this. I really want to fix this. I love my husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a very important first start. What does he say? Does he say, I have to think about it? What has he said to you?
He said he's not ready. He feels like I'm not telling him the truth.
Mm-hmm. Does he think that there's more to it that you're not telling him?
With me?
When you said he feels that you're not telling him the truth, does that mean that he thinks that there's more to it than what you told him? Or is he just not willing to...
No, I think he thinks there's more to it, and I've told him everything.
Okay. And you've gone to confession. That's an important first step.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And is this woman, have you closed the door on this relationship with her?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So no more contact, no texting, no Facebooking or anything like that?
Nothing. No connection at all.
Okay. Does your husband have access to your phone and all your passwords and social media?
He does.
Okay, that's good. So part of what you can do to show him that you are honest and you really mean it is to say, here are the keys to all of my social media, my text messages, here's the code to my phone. If he already has it, he already has it. But I think that would be important so you could demonstrate to him that you're not hiding anything. And if ever he wants to just jump on your phone and see what's going on, he can see it for himself. I think that would help to reassure him that you're really, that you mean this. That'd be one thing. Would he be willing to go with you on a retrovi weekend, do you think?
We've talked about it, and he's not ready to do that.
Fair enough. Sometimes these things take a lot of time, so you have to respect that. And in due time, hopefully, he would be willing to do that with you after things settle down and maybe begin to heal a little bit. But I would say in the meantime, just show him through your actions and your words and everything you can how much you're... Like you said, that you're sorry, but also how much that you want to show him that you are repentant and you want him and only him. And who knows what those ways are, the two of you. How long have the two of you been married?
We've been married by the church for 7 years. Okay. We've known each other for 30 years.
Okay. Any children?
Yes, 3 children.
Okay. So you have a lot to live for. You, the two of you have a lot together. And this is that limbo period, it seems to me, where you have to wait for him to be ready to move ahead. You know, in the meantime, I would say just continue to pray and show good faith and show that you really mean it. Let him know that you want to move forward. And then just respect his need to be processing this. And hopefully soon enough, he'll be ready to move forward, you know.
Okay.
Don't move out. Thank you. You're welcome. I mean, I don't know the particulars of your marriage. I don't need to, but I would say don't do anything drastic. Don't move out. Don't, you know, don't do anything like that. Fight for your marriage, work on your marriage, but primarily because he's the injured party here, he's the one who's going to have to take the whatever time he needs in order to sort out his emotions and find his equilibrium. But the fact that you're there, ready, waiting, showing him that you love him and that you're sorry, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, he's also thinking of telling our kids that we
How
might
old
have
are the
to
children?
Separate. 22, 13, and 11.
That would be really hard on the kids. That'd be really difficult for them. Doesn't mean that it may not happen, but, you know, it would create a world of confusion and other negative emotions for them. If I were in that situation, I would be thinking along the lines of, as bad as the situation is now, I don't want to make it any worse. And I wouldn't want to put this onto my children if they didn't have to know about it. And if they say, well, Dad, how come you and Mom are living apart? Which, to my mind, is not the ideal. But, you know, in a sense, the church recognizes that the spouse in this case, in a situation like this, has a right to stop the conjugal life that the husband and the wife enjoyed. The injured party has a right for separation if that's what's necessary. Hopefully, with reconciliation, you know, in view, and hopefully being able to sort things out and get back on track again. But there is a right that the church recognizes for the spouse to say, time out. We're going to take a time out. So if that had to be done, I could see a scenario in which it could be done without telling the kids why it's being done. Mom and I are just working through some difficult times right now and just leave it at that.
I'm sorry,
what did
go
he
ahead.
Say? No. What did he say when you told him that?
No, and that's something I've told him. You know, the kids don't need to know details. The family, I feel like the family doesn't know details. This is our business, and it's something we need to work on.
Right.
And he just feels like, he feels like he needs to tell people. And I said, no, this is our business, and we have to work through this on our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the difficult thing is that I guess I would put it this way. He's free to tell other people, even though I think if you look at it dispassionately, it's unwise to do that and it causes more harm than good. I mean, I'm not talking about a marriage counselor. I mean, if you can, the two of you can seek marriage counseling together, that would be very good. And obviously you have to talk about things like this. Talk to the priest when you go to confession. If he has spiritual direction from a priest, that's good too. But just to spread this around for everybody to know, I don't see how that benefits anybody. And I think it would cause more injury to your children, especially, than anyone else.
Okay. Well, I hope he's listening. Mm-hmm. I know he listens to you, right? So I hope he's listening.
I will pray for the two of you. And I'll ask everybody listening to pray for the two of you, that God's healing grace will enter into this very difficult and painful situation and begin to restore things.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sandra. Thank you for the phone call. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Ray now in Chicago. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Patrick. Happy St. Nicholas Day.
Thank you. And to you, too.
Thank you. So I'm just wondering if you could maybe give some advice on a situation that's been causing me some inner turmoil within my marriage. And just a very brief background was from a pretty devout Catholic family and everything like that. But definitely went astray my teen years, and then leading into marriage, my wife and I, we maybe went to church and a little bit and all that, but we certainly weren't adhering to the teachings of the faith with regards to cohabitation and contraception. Then, several years into the marriage, we now have three kids, but probably after the first, I had a pretty profound kind of reversion or conversion.
Did you say three years into the marriage or 30 years? I couldn't quite hear you.
Probably a few years into the marriage.
Shortly after. Okay.
Our second child. We've been married about 8 years now.
Okay.
Three children. Yep. But it's been pretty incredible with that, and definitely changed my life in so many ways, just growing in my faith and learning about why the teachings are the way they are, and just the whole everything going on with the faith. But that hasn't been something that we've grown in together. So although in some ways we're on the same page, and many other ways we're not. And one of those ways that I think it's a big struggle is that I want to be, open to life and, not use contraception or anything like that. And we're not on the same page with that. So it's just, I've tried a few different ways.
What kind of contraception? Your wife wants to use contraception. Is that what you're saying? And what? You don't, but she does?
Yeah, correct. I don't want to. I'd love to, and have tried to introduce NFP, and I even had there were people who brought up vasectomies, and I'm like, no way, and but it's the the condoms, so that would be the form.
Let's pause there.
Yep.
And obviously, parents, if your children who are young enough should not be listening to this, turn the radio down for a few minutes, because this is not age appropriate for children. Fair warning. Ready, steady, go. Okay, so let's just pause on this issue. So a condom, and without taking into account more exotic versions of barrier methods, a condom is only usable by you. And if you use a condom, then you're directly participating in this serious sin. If you say, which you have said, and I agree with you, and I'm not going to do that, then don't do that. So there's a difference in your case between actually doing something that she wants you to do. She's insisting that you do this. Well, you would have to say, no, I can't do that, because it's immoral. Mm-hmm. Now, if she says, well, if you don't do that, I'm going to do something, maybe tubal ligation, let's say. Really, for the woman, and let's think physiologically here for a second, if you follow what I'm saying, there really is only one thing, or two, let's put it that way, that a woman could do if she insisted on contraception and the husband said no, and that would be either an oral contraceptive or a surgery. There really aren't any other options that I can think of that are readily useful to her, because the other things that can be done, again, if you follow my meaning, are not things that she could do. They're only things that you could do. So if you say, no, I will not do something that I know is seriously sinful, then you have avoided doing something that's seriously sinful. I mean, it's a tautology, but you see what I'm saying. You don't want to do something that you know is sinful. Now, that leads to the next possible scenario, which would be if you've said, no, I will not do this thing, this action, or using a condom or something like that, because I know it's seriously sinful. Now you've reached a point where she may say, well, then I'm going to do one of those other two things, an oral contraceptive or a tubal ligation. So that now, although it has alleviated your own personal guilt of doing something that you know is wrong because you didn't do that, now you're left with this moral quandary of, so do we continue to make use of the Marriage Act, knowing that in the case of a sterilization, it's no longer open to the possibility of human life? That has been foreclosed upon. Or that it is likely to result in an abortion, because the abortion pill, which is the most common form of contraceptive, oral contraceptives, it can be abortifacient and often is. So then you now are faced with a situation of, if we engage in the marital act, even though you yourself have done nothing wrong, you know now that there is the possibility of these conceived unborn children being lost as a result of the pill. That possibility exists. So you now have a fork in the road, which is either we cease our conjugal life in this regard, or we have to have a breakthrough here somehow. Either she decides not to take either of those two choices, or the two of you engage in these relations, but knowing that you've got a real serious problem, perhaps, as a result of that. None of these options is the right one, other than for her to say, I'm not going to do that. And that's easier said than done, obviously. I'm guessing she probably, after three children, she's saying, I don't want any more children, or I'm tired. These are not uncommon situations. Have you talked with her about natural family planning as a way for neither of you to do anything seriously sinful, but at the same time, if she needs space and she doesn't want to have children right now, this would be one way to achieve that? Have you talked about that?
Yeah, I've tried, but the conversations don't go very far. I think there's a stigma revolved around it that kind of lingers there. So I've tried to make progress there, even showing some videos from Ascension Presents that I thought are really well presented and, mm-hmm. Make it seem normal. And so I think that is the avenue, is just keep praying and then try to pursue that, but gently, because it seems to always kind of blow up and result in arguments and, bring us further apart instead of closer. Yeah. So that's
this is a real challenge, and I can understand why you have to tread very carefully and you have to be very tactful. Understand that completely. Try this. There is a 1-hour presentation by Dr. Janet Smith, and it's floating around out there. You can even get it for free as a digital download. It's called Contraception, Why Not? And it's about 1 hour long, and it's a presentation by this woman on all the harms of contraception, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, etc. It's very powerful. And
I have it.
You have it. Okay. Has she listened to it?
Yeah. No, it's there's just not much of an openness to resources that I provide. Hey, check this out. This is a good presentation or outline for what I'm trying to present, because when we discuss it, it just, like I said, results in kind of arguments. So
have you tried, hey, what if once the kids are in bed and it's just the two of us, let's pour a glass of wine and sit on the couch and let's listen to this together, rather than hand it to her and say, listen to this sometime, just say, what if we listen to it together and we process it together and we discuss it? I'd like to know what you think about this. Have you tried that?
Nope. I haven't tried that.
Could be worth a try.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're not giving her a homework assignment, you're just saying, I would love to get your take on this. Could we listen to it? Let's pour a glass of wine and just listen and see what she has to say, and then discuss it perhaps she'd be open to that.
Yeah, it's a good possibility. I guess I have doubts about what she'd be open to.
Couldn't hurt to try. Couldn't hurt to ask.
Communication just isn't great. So maybe that's, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it goes deeper because I, of course, was going along with all this stuff leading into the marriage and all that. So it's been quite a...
You've changed in ways that she didn't expect, right? Your heart has changed on these things and hers hasn't, at least not yet. Well, there's always also, Ray, a good old-fashioned marriage counseling. Find a good Catholic marriage and family therapist, and maybe that is another avenue that the two of you can kind of talk this out. I wish you all success in this, Ray. I really do. God bless you both. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find out more information and your local Catholic credit union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Happy Taco Tuesday. Welcome back. Let's go to Maria now in San Francisco. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Patrick. So my question is, I have a friend who's Protestant. We met at the group called MOPS, which is when our children were toddlers. It's an ecumenical mom group. Okay. And we've remained really good friends, really close. She's very devoted to her church. I'm very devoted to mine. There's never been something that she tries to get my faith or hers. But throughout the years, she's mentioned that she's working with her church to go do this, you know, missionary work to Mexico. And I've never said anything. And but she just told me she got a job with this guy that wants to plant churches all over Latin America. And it just breaks my heart because it's just, you know, taking people from their true faith away from the Protestant church and to the Protestant church. And I don't know how to talk to her. I've never said anything. I just grow quiet because it just hurts me. But he's such a good person, and he's well-meaning. And it's come to the point that it's kind of like I've never said anything. I don't know even how to approach the subject. Whenever we're together, the kids are always there, so it's never, you know, been, I feel like, appropriate for me to start saying anything about her and her endeavors. And I don't know, how would you do it if he was your friend and it's been years, you haven't said anything. She knows how devoted I am. I mean, they work for the church. She sees everything I do. And I see what she does. And we live in the Bay Area, which is super anti. So, you know, we're more alike than we're not alike because people around us are so like, you know. Okay.
Well, what comes to my mind as you're describing this is Proverbs 16:25, which says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So this is one of several places where the Bible says this. And although that may seem very startling and even harsh, it's still true. There are notions that people can get in their minds that they think is the right thing, but actually is not. And when it talks there about the way that leads to death, I mean, that can be the death of a soul if the soul is taken away from the truth. So that's one thing to think about. And that is, you don't want your friend to go down the wrong road. You don't want her to wind up doing the very thing contrary to what she should be doing, which is, you know, be in the church that Christ established. So maybe the thing you could do is to share with her why she needs to become Catholic. And this man who's mm-hmm. going to be doing this church planting, you know, let's leave him to the side for a minute here. But your friend, evangelize her. Don't be quiet. There's a need here, seems to me, for a kind of holy boldness. Be an, like St. Paul, he was bold. He did not shrink back. The apostles did not shrink back. They took their lumps, as a matter of fact, because they didn't shrink back, but they had an apostolic boldness. So my advice would be ask the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of boldness. Not haughtiness or pushiness or anything like that, but in humility and charity and patience and all that, but to be bold and to speak out. A kind of spirit of fearlessness. Because, and this has been in my own experience, I've seen countless times where sometimes somebody who seems impossible that that person would ever become Catholic winds up becoming Catholic with very little resistance because somebody had the willingness to speak up and say something. And all of those mm-hmm. barriers that you worry about either were not really there in the first place or they were not really very strong barriers. And people have conversions. They have, you know, they make their way into the house of the Father, even though they may start off thinking that it's the Catholic who needs to convert. And then they find out, wait a minute, I need to convert. I need to become Catholic. It's shocking for many people, but it happens all the time. And usually it happens because there's a Catholic person like you who has that kind of holy boldness, that apostolic courage, and is willing to speak up and talk to people. Could
she's
be you.
Always with her husband. How will you do it? Because she's always with her husband and her daughter, because we ever always do play dates and always the three are together. And
talk to all of them as a group.
It's just...
You don't have to have her one-on-one. You could talk to both of them. Here's what I would say. Let's just say that I was in your position. I would ask the question, you know, how come you're not a Catholic? And let them answer. Well, because Catholics are this or Catholics are that. You want to find out what is the objection or what are where is the resistance? And then once you know what it is, then you could address that issue. But ultimately, mm-hmm. what I would suggest is you just need to share the gospel with them. Jesus loves you, as you already know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. So faith in Christ is that all-important first step. But there's also the obedience to Jesus. Jesus himself said, it's not the one who says to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the one who does the will of my Father. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Well, what are your commandments? Well, do what I teach you. Listen to the church. Jesus established a church. He wants you to receive the sacraments. He wants you to receive himself in Holy Communion, in the Holy Eucharist. You know, and if you realize that and you know that he's calling you to this, how can you say no? And it may be it may be that they've never had any Catholic ever lay out the case for why they should be Catholic. That might be the only reason that they've never given it a second thought.
Yeah, her mother used to be Catholic and left the Catholic Church, so I don't know what's behind there. But yeah, I'll have to pray and see when I see her next. Mm-hmm. Tell her.
Yeah, you know, and ask her questions.
Have you considered being Catholic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know that the Catholic Church is the church established by Jesus Christ? Not Good Book Baptist, not Hope Lutheran, not, you know, Westminster yeah. Presbyterian, not Calvary Chapel,
right?
Not Mormonism, not Jehovah's Witnesses. None of those groups were started by Jesus. The Catholic Church was. Mm-hmm. And just ask her the question, did you know that? See, what I'm advocating here is that you'll have probably more success by asking questions than by telling somebody. If you ask questions, mm-hmm. it leads to discussions, and that can lead them deeper. I would suggest that you encourage them to listen to this program. Maybe send them a link, Maria, the link to this program. I mean, relevantradio.com is the easiest way to do it. But if you get the app on their phones, since they live in San Francisco, chances are they can hear the station that you're listening on. Start putting them in touch with me and with others. Give them a copy of the book, Surprised by Truth. I myself edited it, but that's beside the point. The main thing is that these powerful stories, there are 11 men and women who used to be in very much the same as these people in their view of the Catholic Church, and they all wound up becoming Catholic, and they all tell their stories from the Bible and church history and what it did for them when they discovered these truths and they all became Catholic. That's a powerful resource you could share with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried, but she's not listened to the radio station. So, but
keep trying.
I'll
keep trying.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to have relevant radio in Spanish so that all these people in Latin America do not. It's incredible how many are leaving the Catholic Church in droves.
What we found, Maria? We found, because we did that. We actually, for a couple of years, we had relevant radio in Spanish. And what we found, it was counterintuitive, but very few Spanish-speaking people listen to it. And what we found is that far more of them, by far the great majority of them, listen to relevant radio in English because they wanted to improve their English. I don't know why. I mean, it is counterintuitive, but we did try it.
In Latin America?
Well, no, because we can't just go set up a radio station in Mexico or some other place in Latin America, because those governments are very, very restrictive, as is our government, what kind of radio you're allowed to do. But in heavily Spanish-speaking areas in this country, in Florida, for example, Texas and elsewhere, we had 24/7 Catholic radio in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And there just weren't enough people who wanted to listen. They did want to listen to relevant radio in English.
Wow.
But, yeah, so we did try. I can tell you that much. We did try.
Okay.
I have a book. Check this out, Maria. I have a book, and it's called ¿Dónde está eso en la Biblia? And it's a book that I wrote, and it covers about 50 topics: the Eucharist, salvation, Mary, the sacraments, and so forth. And it's all in Spanish. And so if you're interested, that could be a book that you might want to give them. I'm not trying to sell you a book. I'm just saying I have a lot of experience in this area, and I know the kind of questions that these good people have. And so that book, ¿Dónde está eso en la Biblia?
She's English speaker. She's an English speaker.
Oh, she's not Spanish speaking. Okay.
No, she's English. The Spanish speaking people are easy to evangelize to me. Americans are not necessarily, that are Protestant.
Well, you might be surprised.
And
you might be surprised.
Yeah, no, she might be open. I just have to get the courage to start doing that.
Bingo bango. Yeah. But God will give you the words.
Yeah.
And with some preparation, you know, you can do it.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can do it. You're welcome. And just think of how great you're going to feel when you see some progress being made, which very likely will happen. So thanks for that. Appreciate it, Maria. I have to take a break, but I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show and your phone calls right after this. The Relevant Radio Studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Now that's what I call a taco.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149.
Taco Town!
That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Taco Town!
Sad news, you probably have already heard it. Kirstie Alley, the actress, she died yesterday, I believe it was. And she was, I believe she was 79, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, making cheers.
In the world today takes everything you've got.
Heard this song in a
theme song.
Taking
ever.
A break from all your worries. Sure would
she replaced Diane, the character
Shelley
Diane.
Long.
Yeah, Shelley Long. And the thing that I couldn't find, Cyrus, I was looking for it, was that I wanted to find out if Kirstie Alley, had been raised Catholic. And I couldn't find it. I looked on Wikipedia and I looked at other places to see if maybe there was some information on that. And I couldn't find it. So I don't know. I presume she probably was Baptist. 71, excuse me, not 79. Only 71.
Yeah.
She was a Scientologist, which I didn't know that. Christian. Yeah. Big time. Big time Scientologist. So people like Tom Cruise and, Kirstie Alley, and who's the guy from Saturday Night Fever? Welcome Back, Cotter.
Travolta?
My mind is blank. Yeah, John Travolta. He's another one. So it makes me sad because Scientology is like the polar opposite of Christianity. And I don't know if she was ever baptized or not, but I hope and pray that before she did die that she had a conversion to Jesus and that she died, in friendship with him. But in the meantime, she's dead. And this, yet again, is just another example of, even though she wasn't necessarily at the peak of popularity and fame and fortune, I'm sure she was well-to-do. But this is another reminder for you and for me that no matter how successful you are in life, how much money you make, what kind of career you have, how many gold records, eventually you have to leave it all behind. In her case, she died of cancer. And apparently, according to the LA Times, it was only recently discovered. So it was brief in terms of her illness, but she died surrounded by her family and friends. I hope she went to heaven. Only God knows. So we can say a little prayer for the salvation of Kirstie Alley. But let's use these celebrity deaths for a good purpose, and that is as a reminder that you should always be ready, number one, but also that you should do what Jesus said, and that is to lay up treasure in heaven, to love him, to follow him, to cooperate with his grace, and to live a life so that when the time comes, whenever that may be, that you'll be ready. And you'll be ready to go home to heaven. And again, keeping in mind that all of these wonderful things that we enjoy in this life are all things that have to be left behind. You don't take any of it with you. And tomorrow and the next day after that and the day after that and the week after that and the week after that, we're going to hear about more celebrity deaths. It's just inevitable. People die. And personally, that's how I use these stories, not only to pray for them, but I also use the story for my own benefit to remember that in time, as the saying goes, memento mori, remember death. Tempus fugit, time flies. And time waits for no man. So just a thought. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Patty listening in Modesto, California. Hi, Patty.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. I need some advice or guidance in regards to my granddaughter. We are raising our granddaughter. She, we've had her basically since birth, but the past 4 years or 4 years ago, we took guardianship of her. So she lives under our roof and we've been blessed to have her here. And she is a 11th grade student. And we have been teaching her about basically courting, being able to not date, but get to know other people without having so much of the social media, but that's kind of hard. But we have come to find out that she is now dating an eighth grader. And we're really against that. This is to us very inappropriate. If it was the other way around of a girl.
What is it? Define dating for me in this context. What does dating mean in this
case? Well, let's see. He asked her to be her girlfriend, and she said yes. Mm-hmm. And we found this out because we're
well, what are they doing? I guess what I mean is, are they going alone together on dates to like go see movies, or are they just hanging out, or what form does dating take?
They haven't gone out in that fact that they've been seeing each other on the backside without us knowing, sneaking around, basically. And mm-hmm. that to us is a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
He's too young. He's too young. Number one.
Yeah. And an eighth grade boy in terms of maturity level is worlds different than a junior in high school girl. She's probably 16, 17, right?
Yes.
And he's like 13.
Yes. Yeah. He just turned 14 like a week ago.
Yeah. So his immaturity level, I mean, he's probably mature for his age, but his age is immature compared to her age. So it's not good for either one of them, at least in that area. And also, he's really too young to be dating in any case. He's not ready for marriage.
Well,
he's not ready to start looking.
Correct.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I affirm what you're saying, Patty. I agree with you. I believe you're right to have these concerns. So the next question I have for you is, what are your plans in terms of trying to nip this in the bud and stop it from progressing?
Well, we did speak to her and we did tell her that this was inappropriate. Exactly what you had mentioned, the age group and the maturity difference. You know, when she was 14, we wouldn't let her date. So why are we going to let her date a 14-year-old? Number one. Number two, we told her, you know, you need to tell him no, that you right. cannot. You cannot.
Do his parents know?
They're not dating. I am looking to have a conversation. They do know. The parent does know, only because we know that they've
Are they being mom and dad? His mom and dad, are they okay with this?
I do not believe so. I'm supposed to have a conversation later today with the parent.
Okay.
I believe it's only a mother, okay. But I'll be having a conversation with her earlier, and a little later today. But I know that she's still having this conversation. We found this out over the weekend. The side that I'm getting at is we have asked her, you know, this can't go on. It's not acceptable.
Forgive my interruption, Patty. Forgive my interruption. I want to help if I can. I'm not sure what you're asking me in all this.
I want to know how to tell her. Because we have been telling her, no, this is not acceptable. It's not going to happen. My biggest fear is, as a 16-year-old, you know, the more and more you tell somebody no, the more and more they gravitate to that, regardless if it's a right or wrong. It's more like, despite what you say, I'm going to do it, because that's what we're finding out, that there's still mm-hmm. conversations. No, I love you deeply. I would do anything for you.
I understand. So my advice would be, put your foot down. And just say, no, you're not going to do this. And, you know, if it means we have to take your phone privileges away, we take your phone privileges away. Make his parents aware of the situation. Let them know that you and your husband don't approve. Let them know that you have told her that this has to, you know, stop. It doesn't mean you can't be friends, but you can't be romantic and you can't carry on like this because it's not appropriate. And let's face it, you're still in school. You need to study and do what you're here to do at this age, not be romantically involved with a 14-year-old boy. I would do all those things and just stand your ground, love her, let her know you love her, be mm-hmm. loving and kind, yes, but be maybe. Firm, you know, and do the best you can. You can't do the impossible. All you can do is all you can do. So just do what you can do mm-hmm. and pray for her and monitor things and batten down the hatches as necessary. Yeah, that's what I would mm-hmm. do.
Okay.
I don't know what more I could advise you to do. I don't know more what I would do if I were in that situation. Phone privileges can really get a kid's attention if you say, I'm assuming that you're probably paying for her phone. So you could just say, well, that's going to stop. If you will not honor our authority, then we're not going to underwrite the cost of your phone. I mean, there are different pressure points, if we can use that terminology, that you can make use of in a loving way, of course. Anyway, Patty, I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you. Let's go to Bob now in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Hi, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Thank you. And to you, too. How old are you?
14.
Awesome. I was just talking about 14-year-old students just a minute ago. You probably heard that. So how can I help today?
So I'm just curious about this Catholic and Christianity stuff. When does it mention purgatory in the Bible?
Did you say where does it mention purgatory in the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't use the word. Unfortunately, I wish it did, but just like the Bible doesn't use the word Trinity, even though it teaches one God and three persons, it doesn't use that term. So the same is true there. The place I think that is the most descriptive of purgatory is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. And that's where St. Paul talks about a man. Well, I'll just read it to you. So this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. According to the commission of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If his work is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as though through fire. So without using the word purgatory, this passage gives a very good description. This is something that happens after death. So we know that, as it says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to a man to die once and then the judgment. So this talking about his life and the works of his life being revealed is taking place at this judgment. And the fire, we're told, is burning away, or you might say purging away, those things that are incompatible with God. So the wood, the hay, and the straw, those are analogous to the flammable, incompatible things in his life. And those are burned off. We're told he suffers. We're told that he's not yet in heaven. It says he will be saved, but only as though passing through fire. So what that means here is that once he's done with this purification and all the wood, the hay, and the straw have been burned away, then he will be in heaven at the end.
Oh, I see now.
You see? So that's one passage. I mean, there are others, but that would be a good place to start and to think about. Okay, Bob?
Yeah.
Now, are you Catholic?
Not currently.
Were you once Catholic before?
No.
Okay. Well, one thing to know is that here at Relevant Radio, we're here all the time to answer questions and to help, like we're doing right now. So I would hope that you could call back again sometime if you have any other questions. Do you listen to the program much?
Yeah, I listen to your show about every day.
I'm glad.
Like a week.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, thank you for that. Are your mom and dad okay with you being interested in the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Well, how about this, Bob? Just keep listening as much as you can. If you have a tablet, or I hope you don't have a smartphone, but to the extent that your parents let you be on the internet, you can listen to Relevant Radio anytime. You know, Spotify, you can get it on Spotify. But however you listen to it, I would just encourage you, keep listening to this program and the other programs as well, and we can help you.
Okay, I have to hang up, but
I'll let you go. Hey, that's good timing, though, Bob, because we have to hang up, too. Thanks for calling, and I look forward to talking with you again. 3 hours went by in a flash. That's how it always happens. And I'll look forward 21 hours from now to be with you again. Same Pat time, same Pat channel. So please do pray for me. I will pray for you. God bless you.
I'm Lucky Day.
I'm Ned Niederlander.
I'm Dusty Bottoms. And together we're
the Three Amigos.